Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The pendulum is split, Jim, and half of it's gone one way and half of it's gone the other way. The half that's gone to the bad side is, let's say, movies, for instance. There's a whole lot more of the raunchy teenage sex comedies that are extremely popular.
Guess we'll see you around.
All right, check you later.
Bye.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
But the pendulum, like I said, has gone the other way, too, where you've got the likes of Fireproof and a little church in Albany, Georgia, making a huge impact for the kingdom and for family values as well.
No love.
Fireproof. Never leave your partner behind.
So there's just a lot of encouraging trends on the entertainment side that I didn't see 19 years ago.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You can become a fan of APU on Facebook, and when you do, you can watch videos, learn about upcoming events, and read up on current students' experiences. To get that process started, it's free. Just go to facebook.com/Azusa Pacific and learn more about it. And it's interesting that we're talking about our presence on Facebook, because today here on the program, we're going to be having a conversation with Bob Waliszewski of Focus on the Family, and Bob is the guy who put together Plugged In magazine. And our theme today is tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids. If you have a kid who's constantly staring at the palm of his hand and it doesn't seem like he wants to talk to you anymore, this is the conversation you need to hear. Now with part one of the program, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and very excited to be with you today. We have Bob Waliszewski with us. He's a good friend, and he is going to be talking with us about tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids. This is part of our initiative on creating a media-safe home. He is the director of media and culture for Focus on the Family. We're actually here in the Focus on the Family studios today. He's also the director of Plugged In, which is a great website designed to equip parents and kids and youth leaders to better understand what's going on in our culture, especially when it comes to media. Welcome to the program, Bob. It's great to have you with us.
Jim, it's great to be again on your show. And I just appreciate your friendship all these years, by the way. I've been praying for you just years and years. And
well,
it's
thanks.
Good to see you again.
Well, thanks. And it's great to be here. I was saying earlier that this is pretty nice digs you guys have at Focus on the Family. You know, Homeward isn't as nice when it comes to the studio.
Well, you're in Studio A, which is nice. We also have some studios that are kind of like broom closets.
Good. Well,
but
that
this
may
one
look
isn't
like
it.
Yeah. That may look like ours. You know, we've had this initiative for a number of years, creating a media safe home. And I've told you before that when my kids were teenagers, they had to go to the Plugged In site all the time to just get information. They wanted to go see a movie. Fine, here, you know, what's going on with Plugged In. But, you know, you've been here for 19 years at Focus on the Family. You've been involved in media and youth ministry. But the culture has changed, and media has changed. How have you seen it change, say, 19 years ago to now?
You know, it's actually like the pendulum is split, Jim, and half of it's gone one way and half of it's gone the other way. The half that's gone to the bad side is, let's say, movies, for instance. There's a whole lot more of the raunchy teenage sex comedies that are extremely popular. And there's the movies like the Saw franchise. Like, who would have thought torture porn would actually be popular and people would pay $10 to go see it? But the pendulum, like I said, has gone the other way, too, where you've got the likes of Fireproof and a little church in Albany, Georgia, making a huge impact for the kingdom and for family values as well, and Christian music industry. So there's just a lot of encouraging trends on the entertainment side that I didn't see 19 years ago. A little bit of light, but there was a whole lot more darkness.
You know,
back then.
I appreciate you bringing up the positive side, because a lot of times, as we will, when we talk about media, we can complain about it. But the fact is, as even Christ followers, we can do good things and positive things about media. And I think sometimes parents, especially, who are just absolutely not sure what to do with their kids, they'll just throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. But Well, when it comes to music, when it comes to movies, TV, whatever. I mean, there's some good stuff that's still out there, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that's a very easy parenting mistake to make. I say there's two big parenting mistakes. One is legalism, and the other one is permissiveness. You know, the idea, I'll just say yes to my kids on everything is that permissive side of the thing. I just don't, somehow I navigated it through junior high and senior high years, so I won't say no. And the other side is legalism. We're throwing out the television. There's absolutely going to be no movie going out of this household. And if you listen to music, it better be something written by Handel. otherwise, it's just not allowed in the household. Right. And both extremes just don't work.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And I think we'll probably get some people who will write us a note on that because they still have that opinion. But I don't.
No.
I don't think that, frankly, I don't even think all Christian music is good. And I don't think all secular music is necessarily bad. But we have to become people who learn to discern how this affects us and how media affects us. And yet, even on as we think back, I just said, you know, there's positive side, but there's negative sides too. And I actually took this from the Plugged In website. It's a quote by Brandon Urie, who's the lead singer for a band. And he said, "We live in an entire culture that is either provocative or negative. It's so geared toward being shocking that it no longer manages to shock. They've pushed it as far as they can go, both sexually and in terms of anger." I mean, this is a rock musician mm-hmm. saying this. How would you respond to that quote?
Yeah, we definitely have that Lady Gaga, Katy Perry thing happening where talent isn't as important as shocking. And there's, again, the negative side of the culture, which brings up really the bigger issue. If that's going to continue to happen, and yes, the pendulum did split and it continues to still happen. It's been happening for several decades now. Then how do we train our kids to handle that? Do we just, as you said, be parents that say, absolutely no music in our home, no television, no movies? No, I don't think so. But it would be to say, and here's the way I like to say it. If Jesus were walking the planet physically today, along with his 12 disciples, not 2,000 years ago, but physically, how would he answer the question if, say, Peter or Thomas or Bartholomew or the Judas, the good Judas, came up to him and said, hey, in the movie theater is fill in the blank. Can we go see it? Jesus wouldn't say no to everything. There would be sometimes he'd say, let's load the minivan and let's go. But there would be times he would say no. And same thing if Peter came and said, you know, I want to go running, Jesus, today and get some good exercise. I'm in my iPod. I plan on downloading this song and this album and these songs. What do you think? He would have an answer to that. And he does today. We just have to seek it out. If we as his disciples would seek him in those kind of things, I think we would find those answers. There's some gray area. Obviously, I'm a director of a department that has some gray areas, you know. For instance, if there's one S word, S like in Sam, not F like Frank, in a movie, but the movie is inspiring and encouraging and it undergirds the idea of self-sacrifice, would that be enough reason to say, no, I'm not going to go? Well, the body of Christ will be all over the map on that. Some will say, no, if one profanity, you can't go. And some would say, well, if that's it, you know, we can go. So there is definitely gray area. I'm not going to say there isn't. But if we just simply ask that question, again, I think it would answer 90% of the time, which is a whole lot better track record than the disciples of Christ have right now.
You're exactly right. And it is about asking the question. I know I had an experience once where my kids, my youngest daughter was in a gymnastic event in Arizona. And so we all went as a family. We loaded up the minivan. Now that means Jesus would have driven a minivan, you just said. I heard you say that.
Okay, they'd all gone on their Harleys, all 13 of them.
Exactly. So we load up the minivan. And so she was in a gymnastics practice before the big event. So I took the kids to a movie that I thought was okay. Mm-hmm. Probably hadn't checked with Plugged In.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't the world's worst thing, but it was kind of the raunchy teen thing. And it was PG-13. And both my kids were pretty mature and pretty wise and Christ followers. And about 2 minutes into this, I went, this is not smart. And again, it was just more raunchy. It wasn't, you know, you weren't hearing the bad words and, you know, there wasn't all the skin and all that, but it was just, you know, a bad movie, mm-hmm. period. So I leaned over to my kids and I said, we're going to watch this, although I'm not sure mom's going to be excited about this, but afterwards we're going to go get ice cream and we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to come with questions. And so afterwards we went, my kids said, oh, I don't think it was as raunchy. I did think it was pretty raunchy and it got better, I guess. But then we had a big conversation, and I actually look at that as a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. A teachable moment.
Right. It was one of the, because I thought, well, I could have walked out, and if it was raunchier, I would have.
Uh-huh.
Did I get a on the plugged-in story, or did I get an F in the plugged-in story?
You know, I had, an A. We have to use those time as teachable moments. Obviously, you, like me, would find there's sometimes where you have to walk out, and the A would be to walk out. But there are times where just the follow-up conversation is 10 times more valuable. I know that's exactly what you had. I had a very similar experience when my children were younger. I think my daughter was roughly around the age of 11, and my son was 8. We had gone up skiing up in the mountains, and after skiing, we decided to go to a pizza place to get some pizza, and somebody had dropped a whole pocket full of quarters in the jukebox that was still in this particular restaurant, and all of a sudden, a song came over the jukebox that was totally the type of stuff that, you know, that I'm like, I roll my eyes and go, this is so nihilistic. And I resisted the urge to grab my pizza and the kids and say, let's get out of here, let's go to the car. Instead, we had a conversation right there about what appropriate music was like. And that turned out to be a lot more valuable than grabbing the pizza and racing to the car. Yeah.
You know, I think that's something that parents need to hear and almost receive permission. Because like you say, some parents just say, oh, just listen to anything. I can't keep up with this material. Yeah. What I'm saying to parents is you have to be students of the culture. You have to understand what your kids are being influenced by, period. And so that means that's a lot of work for us. You mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, Lady Gaga. Well, if they don't know who Lady Gaga is, they should know because she's influencing this culture for good or bad.
She's the Madonna, if you will, of this culture.
Exactly. Yeah. And yet, I think there are times when actually the dialogue is more effective than just saying being in a bubble and never allowing them to see what's influencing. Again, we have to be very careful with that.
That's right. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And parents being the yes, no people isn't as productive as helping instill those values so they become part of who a person is. Because the last thing we want is our kids to walk out of our house and they've checked all the right boxes while they lived under our roof. But as soon as they leave home, they're thinking to themselves, wait till I walk out and go to college because I will go see anything I want to and listen to anything I want to, and you won't be able to control me. Right. How did we win that war? So they did it right under our house, and then they go off and they sold their... I would much rather have a little bit of some conversations that are a little messy while my kids are at home, instilling those values so when they do go off, they're actually helping spread those values to others under their influence.
Wow, great input. Bob Waliszewski with us today. We're talking about tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids, and they are hyper-connected. It's part of the Creating a Media Safe Home initiative that we have here at Homeward. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we want to talk to you about Facebook and social networking, and is that evil or is that good? We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
It is pretty impressive and imposing at the same time, Jim, when you think about the fact that Facebook has swallowed up 1/7 of the world's population with its usage, and even if kids are kind of jumping ship on it, it's still important for us as parents and grandparents to know why social networking is so important, and that's why we're so grateful to have this conversation today with Bob Waliszewski. Bob is the creator of Plugged In Magazine, and if you've ever gone to Focus on the Family's Plugged In online site to get a movie review, for example, millions of people every month literally do that. And we're grateful that Bob is a friend of Jim's, a friend of ours, and is speaking into this issue today of tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids. Remember, if you miss any part of a Homeward program, whether it's our daily half-hour broadcast, our weekly half-hour, our 60-second short feature, or our full-hour weekend edition, all of those programs are archived at homeward.com. You can listen to the audio whenever you want to. As a matter of fact, you can go back and review a certain part of the program if you want to, without any cost or obligation at homeward.com. And now here's the conclusion of today's edition of the program. Once again, here's Jim.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Bob Waliszewski with us today. We're talking about tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids. Are your kids hyper-connected? If your kids are teenagers, they probably are. We're talking about creating a media-safe home today. Can't think of anybody better to have this conversation with than with Bob. He's the director of media and culture for Focus on the Family, director of Plugged In, which is, by the way, a great website designed to help parents and kids and youth leaders better understand what's going on in this culture. You know, Bob, I mentioned the social networking word. Facebook, MySpace, YouTube. I mean, they're extremely popular. I mean, Facebook, I just saw, is now the third largest country if you're putting the amount of people who are on Facebook. So it has a profound influence. And I was mentioning to actually the Plugged In group earlier today when I was with you guys that at any of our seminars at Homeward, when we say question and answer, they all want to say, well, what about Facebook? You know, should I be my kid's friend? I mean, the parents today are confused about social networking, and yet it's not going away. Mm-mm. I mean, it's just not going to go away. What kind of advice do you give to a parent who's unsure if their kid should be on Facebook or unsure about any kind of parameters with social networking?
Well, I'm going to start back and just say, just in case we have any listeners who's really not quite that familiar, first off, Facebook is kind of like a diary, an electronic diary online where people can download pictures of themselves, express their interests. Oftentimes, there's polls and quizzes, and they do all this and talk about their lives, very similar to a diary, if you will, but just electronic. And I don't see our Lord to put it to the question if Jesus were walking the face of the planet physically today, I think he'd probably be on Facebook. You're on Facebook, Jim. I'm on Facebook. It's an incredible way to reach a lot of people. But all that said, there's still some guidelines that parents need to walk through this sometimes murky world. Case in point, some of the polls that are float around in the Facebook world are just downright nasty, if you will. And somehow, kids just think that if somebody sends it, they need to fill it out and post it and fill out every single question, even very, very inappropriate things. So I would say, here's my advice to parents. Number one, don't say that your kids can't have a presence, but friend your kids. Mm-hmm. And also let them know that you'll be watching theirs and that they can go onto yours. I could send an email and I could read my kids' email. I told them that anything that I sent, any websites that I visited, they could check my history. They were welcome to always go, and I was going to do the same. It was very open, and parents need to have that. Now, some parents will think, well, that's kind of snooping, you know? It's like, if you're saying it's like a diary, I wouldn't have wanted my parents to snoop through my diary. Well, it's a different world. And I want to say, parents, give yourself permission to snoop, if you will, but allow it to go the other way too. And then it's really fair games. You can snoop in mine, I'll snoop in yours. It just keeps ourselves accountable.
Yeah, it is a public forum too. Facebook's different than the little notebook that you write and then you lock.
And put the little key in.
Right. I mean, you're mentioning however many friends you have on Facebook, if you post something, that's it. And that's one of my concerns is the personal information that kids will put. I think parents have to teach their kids, you know, that they shouldn't put the incredible personal information on Facebook and that they shouldn't allow anybody who asks them to be their friend to be their friend. It's like going to the mall. Somebody came up and said, hey, you want to go on a drive with me in the car? You know, kids should not go. But yet we sometimes, the kids, will allow anybody to be their friend on Facebook. So you have to teach them. And a lot of parents don't know as much about Facebook as their kids do. So I'm saying to parents, hey, learn it.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you just simply have to learn it. Let's move to the cell phone. I mean, you know, it's a mobile device now. You don't even call a cell phone because so much can happen. I'm told that by the year 2011, by the end of the year, that will be the greatest distributor of pornography. Mm. And again, you know, cell phones are neither good nor bad. They're somewhat neutral because you can use them for a benefit. I can call you on my cell phone if I'm out, but at the same time, I will have access. I have an iPhone. I would have access to pornography because I can get online with it. What kind of advice do you give to parents about the cell phone use with kids?
Cell phones are like little mini computers. Basically, everything that you can access on your laptop or on your home computer is now available. The only difference is the screen is a couple inches by an inch and a half or so. But otherwise, the material is still there. So I can watch television shows. I can watch full-length movies. I can go to inappropriate sites. And once again, this is a toughie because this is a hard one. But parents, it's hard to look over the shoulder with cell phones, a little harder than it is that, say, other types of technology. But certainly the conversations need to be talked about openly and boldly and saying, as I said with my son Trevor, who's almost 20 now, and said, Trevor, I am very concerned about pornography in this culture. And let's talk about the guidelines that I expect as a follower of Christ. Because, and then I filled in the blank, here is the downside of where you will go if you find yourself a consumer of porn.
Right. I think one of the hard things today is, no kid is innocent. Basically, by age 11, they've seen pornography. Yeah. A lot of them accidentally. But even with a cell phone, today we have sexting. So here's a concern. You know, somebody is going to take a picture of themselves naked or partially naked or whatever, and they're going to send it on to their friend or their boyfriend or their girlfriend. They may even think it's a joke, but it can then get sent on to all kinds of places.
And one out of five have admitted to sexting. So that's 20%.
Right. And when you think of 20% of a youth generation, 20% don't care about the lordship of Christ. I mean, maybe 20% do, but 20% don't care about the theology of baptism or something. But 20% of kids have had this sexting experience. And for many of them, it was not something that they wanted. It just showed up on their screen. I'm aware of a young girl who, when she was in junior high, some guy did that with his private part and sent it on. And, you know, it today still haunts her. Mm. And today she's later high school years. But how inappropriate, how rude. And yet again, as parents, we have to be up on this. We can't just gripe about it, but we actually have to teach our kids what's appropriate, what's not appropriate.
And I will say, I want to add this, that if our children ever receive those inappropriate sexting or pictures of a sexual nature, our kids need to understand that they should bring it to us.
Yes.
Some say, oh, no, that would be snitching, or that would be tattling, or whatever word you want to use. I wouldn't want to get my friends in trouble. But it's not about that. It's about parents having an ability to probably nip it in the bud even easier than the teens would have. And parents need to get a hold of those other parents and say, do you realize that your son sent a picture of himself getting out of the shower to my daughter?
Right.
No, I did not. And I will deal with it. Hopefully they will.
That's we just have to do that today. You know, we have to be able to have these kinds of conversations with our kids. And it's not easy because kids are going to roll their eyes and, you know, things haven't changed that much. They still don't want to always hear it from mom and dad. But I think we have to do it in a dialogue manner much more than, you know, just kind of lecturing at them or telling them, you know, this is all evil. And so we have to be careful. As parents, it's a different way of parenting than ever before. Not necessarily easy. Well, that's why there's organizations like Plugged In. That's why there's organizations like Homeward, focus on the family. We don't have much time left, but parents who listen to the Homeward broadcast are always looking for great resources. And one of my favorite resources happens to be Plugged In Online. And I want you to tell our parents if they're unaware of Plugged In, because I'm always amazed that sometimes parents don't know about it. I think everybody knows about it. But if they're unaware of it, what are they going to see on Plugged In?
Well, we get approximately a million visits every single month, not year, which we're very excited and we thank the Lord for. But primarily, people come for our movie reviews. It's not everything we do, but for instance, most movies come out on Fridays. And people that don't go to Plugged In or a similar site like Screen It basically have only thing they can trust, and I put that in quotation mark, are the ratings. And they say, oh, it's rated PG-13, and my child is 14. Well, therefore, I guess it's appropriate, you know, the culture would say. But we all know from personal experience, you can't trust the ratings. We've all been blindsided by those movies like I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, an epic movie, and Vicky Cristina Barcelona that we go, oh, you know, I roll my eyes at the content. So we try to spell it out. Now, we try to tell parents never to go or don't go, but we just, information brokers, here we break the movie out in content, now you make the decision. But we do the same thing with popular music, with popular television shows, with video games, and then we have a real exciting area of our website called the Family Room area, which is very practical. A lot of articles on the kind of stuff we're talking about right now, just the how-tos, how you can be a better parent, if you will. We have something out there called movie nights for teens and for children, where you could actually turn a movie-watching experience into a spiritual time because we write out the questions ahead. After you've finished watching this movie, now let's work through these questions.
Great that you're doing that.
So anyways, that's the kind of stuff we have.
Well, it's a great program, and I'm just thrilled that you guys continue to do that. And I'm actually especially excited about the fact that you can watch a movie together and then have a dialogue, because that's good training for parents.
Who's going to turn that down?
That is great, great input. Listen, you got to come back because we got to keep talking about it. Can I have you come back next time?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Great. Bob Waliszewski. We're talking through the whole creating a media safe home. And I'm just so grateful that he was with us. He'll be back next time.
Good to have Bob. Always good to check in with him and get caught up. And of course, Homeward recommends. Someone's asked us, you know, why doesn't Homeward do movie reviews? And the reason is because Bob Waliszewski and the Plugged In crowd at Focus on the Family do such a fabulous job. If you're looking for a way to review movies, this is the thing to check out. Now, in light of what happened recently in Aurora, Colorado, and the horrific tragedy that happened in the movie theater there, which was not too far from, Aurora is next to Denver and it's close to Colorado Springs. It's a reminder, once again, that as parents, we need to be proactive about the types of media that our kids are consuming and maybe make that media night at home something where you say, let's get a DVD, let's pop some popcorn, let's watch this thing together. Check out homeward.com for more information on how you can create a media safe home in your world, our book, Internet Protect Your Kids, some of the articles and tip sheets. There's lots of different ways that you can have a media safe experience in your home, and homeward.com is the place to go to get that information, HOMEWORD.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.